This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Murray. Give me that look. That's right. Let's get sweaty. Let's get real sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. All right.
Daddy, who wants to love me sexy?
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. Got a packed house in the lounge tonight. Life is good. As you know, we're here in New England under about 8 feet of snow. Surprised the electricity still works at our houses, but it does. So we're lucky there. I'm your host, the Cowboy. Joined by a couple of mainstays right now, and then the mainest of the mainstays coming a little later, but enjoying the ambiance here with me is my good friend, Andy Flanagan. Andy?
How are you, Cowboy? Feeling pretty good.
I'm doing great. I'm nice and mellow, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm still kind of basking in that Super Bowl championship, you know, cloud nine.
Yeah, that's a feeling I can relate to.
It is.
Upon a time.
Also here, triumphant return after a couple of weeks off. The fire in the belly of the lounge. Our shitster, Keith Schmidt. What's up, Keith?
What's going on, Cowboy?
Doing
a
good.
A little tired from all the shoveling.
Oh, I hear you. I was, I went out to my car today, and the person I was with said, "Hey, are you sure those shoes are okay?" I'm like, "I'm fine." And then I fell right into a snowbank like 2 seconds later.
Nice.
Then you know, the Cowboy doesn't get to the gym too often, but it just happened to be a day where I went to the gym and worked my legs, so I could not pull myself up out of a snowbank, so had to be assisted by a female. So that was a good time. That was a good time. Made me feel like a man. So
the good news, it's springtime is on the way because we're about to start talking baseball. So
absolutely, Keith, you took the words right out of my mouth there. If you remember, our loyal listeners will remember last year we had an in-depth preview of Major League Baseball going division by division. We're going to do the same thing. We're starting tonight with the AL East. It's one of the high-profile divisions. Not going to say one of the best divisions. Definitely one of the high-profile divisions. A lot of money spent in the AL East, so looking forward to talking about that. And then after the break, we're going to be joined by everybody's favorite, Cowboy Senior. Keith's going to drop off because we're going to be talking NBA, not Keith's niche. Cowboy Senior and Andy and I myself will talk some NBA. We're going to break down the Western Conference. Great conference. Going to be a good breakdown. I think we're going to have a lot of different predictions there because it could really go a number of different ways. We're fresh off All-Star Weekend. Everybody's in the NBA flow. So really looking forward to it, guys. So, but before we start, still waiting for that call, Scott and George over at the Extra Point. So if you missed our show last week and you missed the Extra Point, our sister podcast here on placetobenation.com, that, you know, your host, the Cowboy, has never said a bad word about until last week. But to say the Extra Point kind of threw a, threw a shot across the bow. Is that that's the wording? And they called out the Sports Lounge for being not very objective. And then I took the time out to listen to the new Extra Point. It was a good episode. Talked a little, surprisingly, some New York sports. Talked a little A-Rod. Talked a little Jersey retirement. Very, very good episode. And they talked a little NBA as well, but in the middle of there, you know, Scott He just can't help himself. He just can't help himself. He said something about Cowboy Senior having a Ben Roethlisberger jersey hanging in his closet next to his Tom Brady feet pajamas, I think was the way he put it. We don't take kindly.
Footy pajamas?
Feet, yeah, like feet pajamas, like a little kid would wear. That he's saying Cowboy Senior, you know, trots around the house in that. I'm not saying he's wrong. You know, I don't know. I'm not there at night. I think he's wrong, but regardless, it's another shot across the bow from the extra point. So I will reiterate my challenge. Scott, my guys versus your guys, me versus you. You remember those Super Bowls back, you know, back in the 80s when, you know, when the Cowboys and the Niners would play in the NFC title game and it would be a real close game, and then one of them would play, let's say, the Chargers in the Super Bowl. Well, we're the Niners, Scott, and you're the fucking Chargers. So we're waiting for it. We are waiting for it, and we cannot wait. So hopefully we get this done soon. I mean, Andy Flanagan has been chomping at the bit to get a piece of you guys. And am I right, Andy, or am I right?
Oh, you're right.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is the first Keith's heard of it, but Keith's a junk, Keith is a junkyard dog, man. He is a junkyard dog. And not in the sense that
I'm at the edge of my chain.
So anyway, guys, I think our listeners would love it. Clash of the Titans, however you want to put it. Let's get this done. Face off, Sports Lounge versus Extra Point. Like I said before, you pick the topics. You don't even have to tell us beforehand. We'll even the playing field a little bit. Moving on. AL East, guys. So it's crazy that we're going to talk baseball when it's just like one snowstorm after another. It seems like it's just so far away that, you know, we're sitting in Fenway or sitting in Yankee Stadium, eating the popcorn, thinking about, you know, or just as what we're usually doing, which is sitting in the lounge, baseball on TV instead of football or basketball. So, but yeah, I mean, it's only it's less than 2 months from now, so let's get cracking.
About 6 weeks. 6 weeks, baby.
6 weeks, and Keith, you're our resident baseball expert here, so we're going to really be leaning on you here to provide that analysis you provided last year. I mean, it was fantastic, so I hope you're ready.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm in transition period from football, but, yeah, I'm studying little by little, day by day, so let's get it going.
When you're the wealth of knowledge that is Keith Schmidt, just that little bit of studying puts you in about the top 0.25% nationally. So, listeners, you're in the right place. So let's just let's go in the order that the teams finished last year. First place, your Baltimore Orioles. Baltimore won the division by 12 games last year over the Yanks. So they were the dominant team.
The only good team, you might say.
That's another way to put it. I mean, they were very good. They were very, very good.
And, yeah.
You know, then they got swept by the Royals in the playoffs, which hurts. I mean, that hurts. That really that doesn't put a nice little bow on the season.
No. And I mean, the Royals were a juggernaut last season.
They were the New York Giants of last season, Andy. You know, kind of got right. Hot right at the right time. And, you know, talent be damned. They made the World Series. So looking at the Royals,
I'm glad you're such a gracious winner, Cowboy. I love it.
That's what we do. You know, it's the extra point. They have me fired up. They're bringing out that Cowboy. I mean, Andy, you know, Keith's seen it. You've seen that Cowboy, that super competitive Cowboy, whether it be on the basketball court or, you know, fantasy draft. You know, that tiger comes out. Well, now it's out on the show. Usually I'm just laid back enjoying the women in here, but Scott and George, you got me pissed off, man. But so the Orioles didn't do too much in the offseason. I kind of stood pat, I guess. And I'm just going to throw it over to you, Keith. What do you make of the Orioles?
Well, I don't see a repeat performance coming this season. I think they lost. They lost both of their corner outfielders in Markakis and Nelson Cruz. That's a huge loss. They do have Machado coming back. Should be at full strength. Manny Machado, who's a up-and-coming superstar. Chris Davis, who knows, is he going to be the guy from 2 years ago, or is he going to be, you know, the guy that played last year who looked like a shell of his former self? The pitching, we'll see. Chris Tillman, can he develop into a true ace? I mean, he was basically their ace last year, but what they got coming behind him doesn't really impress me. Matt Weed is also, he should be healthy again, which will give them a big boost. It'll also help the pitching staff. He's a great catcher, but I don't see where they improved from last year, and like I said, I think they got a little worse. Their lineup is a little weaker.
Yeah, I agree with that, Keith. I mean, it's replacing Cruz and Markakis with Alejandro Diaz and Travis Snyder, that's going to weaken the lineup. And
yeah,
and I'd be all right with it if they would have gone out and like gotten some pitching, but it just doesn't. I don't know. Their offseason doesn't make any sense to me. They still have a really good lineup, especially with those guys healthy that you spoke of. And I mean, you didn't even mention Adam Jones, who's I think pretty clearly the best player on the team.
right.
Great hitter. So they're going to be able to hit, but that staff is not very good. Andy, yeah. What do you think?
I'm in total agreement. I don't think it's going to be a repeat performance. I think, you know, it's a little bit similar to the Red Sox a couple years ago, where they had everything go right one season and then things took a turn the next season. I think, losing that historic season that Cruz gave them last year is going to hurt their offense. And I don't think their pitching is as good as it was last year. And it's going to be a rough season for the Orioles, I think.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that staff, I mean, Tillman's very good. I don't think he's a true ace, but I mean, he could, you know, he's a very good pitcher.
Yeah.
Chen is Chen's like, I mean, to me, he's like a good, solid number four. And he's like clearly there too. Bud Norris, Miguel Gonzalez are both gas cans. I mean, Bud Norris was a gas can.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's one of these guys, good stuff. I mean, I suppose he could put it all together. I mean, he strikes a lot of guys out, but I think he kind of is what he is, which is upper, you know, he'll eat a bunch of innings, but upper fours ERA, gets lit up like a Roman candle every third time out.
Yep.
And I mean, Miguel Gonzalez throws batting practice, right? I mean,
for the most part, yeah.
Am I off? I mean, he was, yeah.
Yeah, he's a back of the rotation kind of guy. I mean, they must be banking on Kevin Gausman taking the next step. I mean, that kid's got a lot of raw tools, you know, but, you know, can he put it together? I mean, he's there for sure. And they also have Dylan Bundy, who should be, I don't know if he'll stop the season in the rotation, but if he proves healthy, I mean, the kid's got ace stuff. I think he missed most of last year at Tommy John, so. But, you know, maybe that's what they're doing is hoping on the future, the young guys, try to build from the farm system. You know, maybe tread water and then make a splash at the deadline. But with all that being said, they probably still have the second best rotation in the division.
We're going to get to that.
Behind Tampa. Because there's not much besides Tampa Bay in this division as far as pitching goes. Not in my opinion, anyway.
No, agreed, Keith. And I like the point on Bundy. I mean, He's an uber prospect. I mean, top five pitching prospect in all of baseball, right? Coming off that surgery, I mean, you have to think that they're going to take it real, real, real slow with him.
Yeah.
To the point that, I mean, I don't know if you can even count on him to contribute this year.
Certainly
at
not
all.
For the first half of the year, probably, right? If you're lucky, he might come back in the second half.
Right. And, you know, Keith, Machado, do you think he's really that superstar in waiting that people make him out to be? Because I haven't seen it. Sell me on Machado.
His rookie season was phenomenal. the kid was a doubles machine, and he plays gold glove defense at third base. You know, and like they always say, those doubles when you're, you know, 22, 23, when you hit your prime, those doubles, you know, a lot of those doubles become home runs. I mean, the kid was a fantastic hitter, had great plate discipline. I mean, he got screwed last year with all those injuries. It, you know, kind of stopped, you know, a whole year of progression. But I think the kid's going to be pretty special. Now, you know, people were comparing him to A-Rod. That much, I think he'll be a pretty good player.
Yeah,
I mean, real good hitter. And like I said, he already plays gold glove defense. So
you know, if the Orioles can stay healthy, and if Machado takes that next step, and if Tillman develops into an ace, and if those back end guys don't just suck the life out of them, that's really their path. Right, is, you know, Machado takes that step and is that superstar. These guys, yep, who have traditionally been unable to stay healthy, Chris Davis. I mean, I don't think we're going to see the Chris Davis from 2 years ago, but it's not unreasonable that he could take a step up from last year, you know.
No. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect 30 and 100, which is, you know, an all-star season. You know, it's not the 50 home runs he hit a couple of years ago, but, you know, 30 and 100, I think, is doable for him. You know, he's in a good lineup, so he's got a lot of good protection. And don't forget, Matt Weed is coming back, too. Switch it is an all-star catcher. They missed him sorely last year. Imagine if he would have played last year.
Oh, I know. And, I mean, he's another one who was, you know, uber prospect, and he was just starting. Beginning of last year, he was superb. I mean, looked like he was finally going to have that big breakout that's been predicted of him for so long, and it was a shame he got hurt. But, yeah, so, I mean, they can hit with anybody. We'll see about the pitching, but they're definitely a good squad. Their bullpen is shaky, too, when you're talking about pitching.
Yeah, well, I like Zach Britton as a closer. The guys leading up to him, you know, they're losing Andrew Miller. That hurts, you know, even though they only had him for, you know, the stretch run last year, but he went over to the rivals, so, yeah. But bullpens, you know, you can always, every season, you can look at the depth chart in a bullpen on every team, and you tell me if you can actually pick which one is going to dominate.
You just never know.
Look at the Yankees last year, that Betances, is that his name? Where'd that kid come from? He looked like Mariano Rivera.
Absolutely. Anything to add on the Orioles, Andy, or would you like to move on to the Yankees?
I think we're ready to move on.
All right. So, moving on to your New York Yankees. Andy, this is your fan, I believe. What do you think?
Because they overachieved a little bit last year to finish where they did, and even that wasn't very good. So, you know, it's hard to be up. And, you know, it's going to be tough moving on to the Didi Gregorius era. But they've done some things I like. I think Chase Headley is a nice pickup. He's a little bit underrated, and he got him at a good price. Overall, I think, you know, it'll be kind of like last year. They'll hang around, but they're probably not going to be challenging for the division, I don't think.
What do you think of the staff?
What do I think of the staff?
Yeah.
It's, again, I mean, it's hard to tell. But, well, Sabathia's the real question is, you know, how much does he have left? Last year was a pretty clear sign that he's on the decline, but if he's able to give them some quality innings, like 180 quality innings, that would be a pretty big deal. Obviously, Tanaka's really good. Pineda has potential. I think it'll be maybe an above-average staff, I think, is probably what we're hoping for there.
I think Sabathia is completely cooked.
Yeah.
Done. But yeah. I think the guy you didn't mention, who I think can help them a lot and who has a lot of potential, is Nate Eovaldi.
Yeah.
I mean, he throws harder than anyone in the majors. I mean, he was lights out at the beginning of last year, and he's just a kid. And, I mean, I guess a lot of it is, you know, can he come to New York? Some guys come to New York or Boston and thrive, and some guys can't. But if he can put it together, he could give you what you're hoping for from Sabathia. Tanaka is a stud. Tanaka is an absolute stud. Ace.
Yeah.
Great pitcher. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I mean, it's a little worrisome that, you know, all the talk coming into last year was about the ridiculous amount of innings he had thrown in Japan, and then he goes out and, you know, hurts his elbow. That's not good. Pineda's a question mark.
What is going on over there?
What was that?
I'm just getting some sound on my end.
You're getting feedback from my end. This is a new thing we do on the Sports Lounge where Andy gets feedback from me that I accuse him of being on his end. So we're going to assume that that's on my end. So I must have been fiddling with something. You know, the cowboy. I'm so pumped up for baseball. I can't sit still.
Yeah, it's that fire in the belly. It comes out.
It is. It is. The Boneheads gives me the fire in the belly too.
It certainly does.
So Chase Headley, I don't want to act like a Yankee hater. I'm giving you my honest opinion. I think Chase Headley's had one good year in the major leagues. I think it's a complete apparition. I think he is what he is, which is someone who's not that great. Uh-huh. Who's you know, I think a 250, 260 with 15 home runs. Plays a good third.
He does play a good third.
I think McCann can have a better year than he did last year. Teixeira cooked.
Yeah.
Like Stephen Drew over at second, you know, he's a real gamer, Andy.
Oh,
you know
that's that. Right, he is.
And they have they're very good outfield with Brett Gardner, Ellsbury, yes. And the Beltran, Garrett Jones, Young combo. I think that's a very, very good outfield. Clearly, the strength of their team and
absolutely.
If they're gonna make noise, that's where it's gonna come from. Is you know, with Ellsbury and Gardner at the top of the lineup. I mean, that's guys who are on base a lot who can be very disruptive on the base paths. And so we mentioned everybody but one guy, Keith. Leave him for you.
Mr. A-Rod.
Mr. A-Rod. So what do you think is gonna happen with him? You think they're gonna get anything from him? It's all over the map. The extra point talked about him for half an hour today, so I'm interested to get your take, Keith.
I truly don't know what they're going to get from him. I mean, he's got to have that "I have something to prove" attitude coming back. Maybe just, you know, being a full-time DH now, you know, maybe spelling that first base a little bit will help him stay healthy. You know, because he's 40 years old, right? I believe he's almost 40.
Correct.
I still think he's going to be, you know, in the power department. I see no reason why he still can't hit 25, 30 home runs. I really don't, especially if he's not playing third base every day. He's still a monster. And he was one of the best hitters in the game for a long time. Now, is he going to fall off the map, you know, a la Jim Rice? One year he shows up, he can't hit no more. I don't know, but I still think he can run into 30 home runs. Now, he might be hitting 250, but I think he'll still be a decent power source. To me, with this team, the absolute key, and I mean, this is for every team, but this one in particular, health. If these guys all stay healthy, they'll contend for that division, especially in the pitching staff. You know, Tanaka, he rehabbed that. He had a partially torn ligament in his elbow. He didn't have surgery. He just rehabbed it. So who knows? You know, come mid-May, he might throw a sinker and he's done. You know, but if he stays healthy, like you said earlier, he's an ace. Pineda, I think I give him a little more respect than you were. I think that kid's the real deal. You know, he got railroaded with injuries, but when he's on, he's a good pitcher. Evaldi, yeah, he's a fireballer, but, you know, he's going to prove it in the American League. And Sabathia, yeah, like you said, Andy, maybe 180 good innings. You know, his days of a 2.5 ERA are over.
Yeah.
But if he can keep it, you know, around four, you know, they should be able to score some runs. I think they're solid up the middle defensively, right? Didi is probably a better defensive shortstop than Jeter was. Not in his prime, but, you know, the last few years. And Stephen Drew was an excellent shortstop. I'm sure he's going to be able to, you know, play a great second base. And he's not JD. He actually does play. You know, JD Drew is the one that my hammy hurts. I got to sit down. Now, JD probably had more talent than Stephen at the plate, but now I don't know. I'm looking at this depth chart here, and I think they could contend in this division. You know, they got a good bullpen, Betances at the back end, and Andrew Miller, who they signed as a free agent, who we all know, you know, murder against lefties. You know, he's a pretty good eighth inning guy. So I think the Yankees will be there, and you know they're not afraid to spend money. So
that's true. That's a good point.
That's very objective, no. Keith. Very, very objective.
Well, I try to be, you know. I try to be as objective as I can, especially when I'm talking about my hated rival, New York Yankees.
Well, you fit right in here on the lounge with that objectivity. I'm just going to say that.
You know, I try.
Andy, I'm going to put you in the position of kind of counterpointing what he said about A-Rod. Because I have a feeling you might think differently. I'm just guessing. I might be wrong. We haven't talked about it.
No, we haven't, but that was a good guess on your part. I think it's I don't think it's going to be pretty because, you know, he was trending downward, you know, back before all this stuff went down and the suspension came in. And, you know, with a year off, I don't think that's going to help matters at all. And, you know, I don't like to put too much into the intangibles and external stuff, but that's a lot of baggage for him to be carrying around. So I don't think he's going to contribute really anything of note this year.
So, I mean, especially it's pretty clear they don't even really want him around.
Exactly. Like, it'd be one thing if he had the support of the team and they were doing their part to help him get back on the field, but yeah, they don't want him there at all. So I don't see how he's going to succeed here unless really like the best case scenario for him is what Keith said. And he just is so competitive and obsessed with proving everyone wrong and, you know, having the FU season, but I just can't see it.
Right. I mean, I hate to say it like this, but the only way what Keith said happens, 250, 30 home runs, falling into 30 home runs, is if he found a new masking agent. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I think, I mean, the guy's, I mean, it's his hip, too, right? He's got the degenerative hip. I mean, that's bad. And I mean, he had pretty much fallen off a cliff, even with the PEDs, right? I mean, if he's actually clean with that hip, with having been away, I mean, maybe he'll prove us all wrong. Or maybe he'll prove Keith right, but I mean, I think they actively don't want him to hit, what is it, the sixth or the seventh home run that's going to kick in that big bonus for catching Willie Mays?
Right, right.
Like, I mean, I could see them, like, benching him after he gets five after home runs.
Oh, I mean, you got to think, though, he's making $30
million. Yeah, that's a good point.
They're not going to just cut him and they're not just going to sit his ass on the bench. It's not going to happen. Makes too much money.
I think they would cut him.
Wait,
or designate him for... I mean, you say the Yankees aren't afraid to spend money. I think I think there's a players union issue, right? If they were to let him go before without giving him a chance for those incentives to kick in. Because I think they may be willing to eat the $30 million just to not have him on the team. Wow. You know, pay him $30 million to sit at home.
If there's any team that would eat that money, it's them. But I mean, you have to at least get him on the field and see what he can do. That's, you know.
Right.
You know, now come May 15th, and he's hitting 160 with one home run. Yeah, you're right. Maybe he's not worth the hassle. You know, we'll eat the money, but I don't see that happening. This guy had too much talent. Way too much talent.
No, and I hate to see. I mean, for all the PED stuff, I mean, he's a generational talent. I mean, generational.
Right.
Great player. I always thought he got a bad rap with the postseason stuff. I mean, it's, you know, it's such a small sample size. He's always been a great player. And, mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, I'll be rooting for him. I mean, talk about having everybody against you. I mean, man, I mean, are there two people in America left who like the guy? His own teammates hate him, you know? I mean, so in a way, it would be a pretty cool redemption story if he can come out, keep his mouth shut, and help contribute to a playoff team, you know? But it seems like the wheels could just come off at any time, though.
Yeah, they could, but I think they need him.
They do.
That's my opinion. They need him. I mean, is Teixeira going to play a full season?
No, well, Garrett Jones can play first base. That was a pretty good signing for them. He's is he that much worse than Teixeira at this point, honestly? You know, I mean, they need A-Rod or Headley to turn back the clock to, I mean, he hit 30 home runs playing for the Padres, which is like hitting 60 anywhere
else.
Right. so it's in there somewhere. But yeah, real interesting team. Real interesting because you have so many injury risks. Like Ellsbury's a big injury risk too, and no one's even talking about it. You know, but again, like the Orioles, if they stay healthy, I mean, their ceiling, I think, is higher than a team like the Orioles because, I mean, they have guys who have been there and done that, you know. And, and to your point, Betances, I'm sure I'm butchering his name, which I apologize for. He stepped in, and, I mean, they didn't, you know, they're not going to miss a beat if he is what he showed last year. And Andrew Miller's a great setup, man, and the rotation has potential, so. We'll see. Interesting squad. Kind of a team in flux.
Yeah. I hope they finish 30 games out of first place. And A-Rod is the circus that he is. And they're all injured, but I don't know. I don't think so. I think they'll be there till the end.
See, that's how you can separate the team you root for with the analysis you give here on the Lounge, Keith, and that's why we love you, buddy.
Hey, I'm telling you, it's giving me heartburn to say what I just said.
I mean, because coming on here, and you know, talking up Trent Richardson's one thing, you know.
Right.
This is not on that level, Keith. Not even close. I won't bust your chest. At least A-Rod's done it before. You know, he was good in college. All right. Next up, the Toronto Blue Jays. Your Toronto Blue Jays. Third place finish. Very disappointing end to last season, if memory serves.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They went out and got a guy, Keith, that I think is going to help them a lot.
Two of them.
One of them, really, in particular, though, upgrading from Brett Lowry to Josh Donaldson at third base is like night and day. It's a shame the A's have to do stuff like that.
A little sidebar. What the hell was Billy Beane doing? He blew the whole team up.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
You know, we'll talk about them a little more in the AFC West preview. Hey, did I say AFC? Gosh.
Yeah, you did, but that's all right.
Broncos. American League West preview. But strictly from a Blue Jays perspective, do you think the additions of Donaldson and Martin with this lineup are enough to mask the deficiencies where they can contend?
No, I don't think it's enough. Well, if you can tell me that Encarnacion will stay healthy all year, and so will Batista, along with Donaldson and Reyes and Russell Martin, not a great hitter, but he seems to come through in the clutch. They'll be able to score runs with every other team in this division. But when you look at that pitching staff, besides Stroman, I mean, R.A. Dickey's all right, but come on, he's not an ace. He really not. Mark Burley's an innings eater, but, you know, he's a 500 pitcher. Hutchinson, we'll see what happens with him, but, and Estrada, he doesn't do it for me. The bullpen doesn't seem too strong. Well, Aaron Sanchez is a wild card. We'll see if they stretch him out to be in the rotation, but if not, he'd probably be a pretty good closer, but I don't know. I don't think that's enough.
They also have the immortal Marco Estrada, Keith.
Yeah.
Don't forget about him. He will start some games for them this year, so yeah, the pitching's just
well, yeah, he will.
Has
hopefully
there ever...
it's in the... Hopefully it's against the National League teams, because... Imagine him facing the Orioles lineup in Baltimore.
I mean, he didn't fare that well against the National League either. So.
Yes. Oh.
Has there ever been a less intimidating 1-2 punch at the top of a rotation than R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley?
It's unreal. It's not going to get it done. I'm sorry. I mean, I personally think Stroman's the best pitcher.
Oh, yeah. I think
Marcus Stroman.
I think that's true.
Yeah, but, I agree. But, I mean, Dickey and Burley, I mean, not to make light of it, but guys aren't exactly not crowding the plate against them. Go ahead, hit me.
Not afraid to hang in there, no.
But, I mean, they are inning eaters, both of those guys. You know, rubber arms. I mean, they can, you know, and Dickey's on and off. Burley's on and off. Stroman seems like he's the goods.
Yeah.
That lineup has the potential to be nasty. Really, really nasty. I mean, we didn't even mention Reyes.
I know.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're going...
Yeah, great table setter, but...
Yeah, and then...
Again, can he stay healthy?
And then 3-4-5 is Batista, Encarnacion, Donaldson.
That
could be the 3-4-5 of the American League All-Star team, right? And it wouldn't be, I mean, not probably not now that they're on the same team, but, you know, last year. I mean, that is a vicious 3-4-5. So I like this squad. I do. I think that offense coupled with the shit pitching in the rest of the division, I think they're going to win a lot of 10-9 games. I do. I think, you know, they got bats, as they say.
Right.
Yeah. They remind me of the Colorado Rockies. That's what they remind me of. Every year. I mean, they can hit the shit out of the ball, but they can't pitch.
Right.
You know, they always have great lineups, but
can't pitch. As opposed to it being just because of the stadium, though. This is completely by design of management.
Right.
A little different. Andy, what do you think, buddy? Contender, pretender, somewhere in the middle?
It's tough for me. I kind of, you know, the Blue Jays are that team you hear about every year that in the offseason there's a lot of buzz thinking maybe this is the year they finally break through. And, you know, I've been one of those people who always buys into that and then they jerk me around and let me down every year. And so there's a part of me that wants to say, you know, this could be the year they break through. All those, you know, that hitting is enough to overcome the really mediocre starting pitching, but I guess considering the division, I think, you know, they'll be somewhere around where the Yankees end up, with someone that like 84-85 range, and depending on how the rest of the division shakes out, maybe this is their year.
Yeah, and I mean, in reality, what's so different about this Blue Jays team and last year's Baltimore Orioles team?
Yeah, that's fair.
True. Health, though.
Right. I mean, well,
that's
you know, whenever we do a football preview, MLB preview, health is such a huge thing. Such a huge thing. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes it is just about that. Whoever stays the most healthy wins.
Mm.
So, we'll see. Next up, Tampa Bay Devil Rays. This is my pick.
They should go back to the Devil Rays.
They really should.
Man, I keep messing up left and right here tonight. Huh? Bad cowboy. I'm living in 2008.
That's right.
So Rocco Baldelli at the top of the lineup. local kid,
might be
gritty.
Better than what they have.
So yeah, I was gonna say my prediction that I know is gonna come true is no one's gonna pick the Devil Rays to win the division.
No. But they do have, by far, hands down, the best pitching staff in this division.
Oh, absolutely.
Damn. Hands down.
I mean, they're four. I mean, Odorizzi as a four. I mean, I feel like he, you know, when I look for a pitcher who's going to break out, one of the things I really look at is strikeout numbers. You know, a lot of guys, if you're making people swing and miss, then generally you have the stuff, and it's just a matter of reining it in. And, you know, sometimes you're Bud Norris, and you can never rein it in. But Odorizzi's strikeout numbers were impressive. Got a little better as he got a little better as the year went on. And, I mean, he's their four, and he kind of reminds me of, like, the way Alex Cobb was their four and burst onto the scene. I mean, they have four just very quality starters. Cobb, Smiley, Archer,
five.
And Odorizzi.
And don't forget Matt Moore. I mean, now he's, you know, probably won't come till the latter half of the season, but that's like making a trade,
right.
You know, at the deadline. A guy like that coming back.
He's a stud. With all the good things you can say about their pitching, this is probably the worst lineup outside of some Marlins teams when they were, you know, openly just tanking, not paying anybody. I mean, wow, is it bad.
This reminds me of the Padres lineup last year. That's what it reminds me of.
Yikes.
It's brutal.
They have two legitimate hitters in the lineup, Longoria and Desmond Jennings. Well, and now Asdrubal Cabrera, but I don't know.
I mean, he's a middle-of-the-road shortstop, right? I mean,
good player,
but certainly not.
He might be above average for the position, but yeah, he's not going to set the world on fire with his bat.
Right, and if he's the third best hitter on your team.
That's a problem, yeah.
Huge, huge, huge problem. You never know with them. They seem to do it with smoke and mirrors sometimes, but I really, really
I keep coming back to that, but I mean, do you think losing Madden is going to put a big dent in that, like, you know, mystique where they turn out to be better than projected? Or do you think it's like an organizational thing where they'll still have tricks up their sleeve to come out looking better than we thought?
I think losing him definitely hurts.
Yeah.
With that pitching staff, I mean, they can't be. I mean, we're not talking 100 loss bad or anything.
No.
I don't think. I mean, just based on the pitching that they have, that's not going to happen. But if they're out of it and they decide to sell some of that pitching, oh boy.
Right.
Watch out.
It could get ugly quick, yeah.
I mean, their DH right now is John Jaso.
I know.
That's awful. That's terrible.
Nick Franklin, you know, could develop into a decent hitter. Loney's a spaghetti bat at first.
Yeah, I know he had a nice year last year, but I don't buy it at all.
No. Well, he's one of those, you know, it's a power position. You say he had a nice year, he hit 9 home runs.
Yeah, fair.
You know, Longoria played 162 games, everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah.
But what do you think's going on with him, Keith? You think it's a regression, or, I mean, he hit 250 with 22 home runs.
Yeah, you know, when the last 3 years been waiting for him to break out, like, you know, MVP-type numbers. And I think we might be looking at what he is. I mean, unless he had some injuries that he didn't let anybody know about. I mean, he's still an above-average player, but he's not the guy that, you know, I was looking for 335 and, you know, driving in 120 runs. And I don't see it happening.
Right, and that's what we all thought we were going to get when he stayed healthy.
Yeah.
You know, all he has to do is stay healthy.
Yeah, because there were a few seasons where he'd only play, like, what, 125 games, and, you know, he had great numbers. So we just kept projecting. But what happens when he does stay healthy? This is where he's going to be. And it could just chalk it up to a down year, you know.
So that's really their
plan. I don't see it getting any better for him now. I mean, he's got nothing around him.
No protection at all. And
so, I'll tell you, he'll have a chance to lead the league in intentional walks this year.
Even though he's a 250 hitter. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, still, if there's runners on base, I mean,
I completely agree with you. I mean, but, I mean, just look at the guys that they lost, you know. I mean, Zobrist, Joyce, Will Myers. I know Will Myers hasn't put it together yet, but, I mean, it's just brimming with potential, and it's just, it's tough. It's just tough. They're in a tough spot. Their path, as Andy alluded to, is, you know, the typical Rays overachieving. These guys they're plugging in. They were able to get big contributions from. I guess, you know, who heard of Ben Zobrist before is Ben Zobrist,
yeah, right?
So, and Longoria coming, I mean, he doesn't have to be an MVP candidate, but I mean, the 30-100 that you said for Chris Davis, I mean, if he can do that and hit 280 instead of 250, Jennings is a threat at the top of the lineup. I don't really like Jennings' game that much. I'm gonna be honest. He's a, you know, for a guy with his speed, he doesn't walk enough for me. He's kind of a free swinger up there. I hate guys like that. And Cabrera has to. You know, Cabrera is an all-star. He has to continue to be an all-star. And again, given the weakness of the division, I mean, you could really make a case for any one of the five teams in this division to win it. Even this sad excuse for a lineup just based on their pitching.
Well, we'll see. But I don't know. I mean, this, like I said, this is eerily similar to San Diego Padres lineup last year. And they had decent pitching, too. You can't, if you're only scoring 3 runs a game, you're not going to win many. Even with that great pitching staff.
So with the Padres, no. Keith, I know we're not talking NL West yet, but do you think they're trying to amass as many power hitters as they can so they all hit 15 home runs?
Maybe. But I'll tell you, man, I'm pretty, you know, that new GM, I don't know his name, but he came in and just started snatching players left and right. I mean, Will Myers, Upton, Kemp, I think it's somebody else too.
I like a guy who's willing to spend.
Yeah, he came in and said, oh, well, I'll fix this. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's definitely got the potential there.
He needs to move the fences in again.
Maybe.
James Shields. But, you know, James Shields is the other one.
Right, James Shields, yeah. No, but there's another offensive player they got too. I can't think of it. Who was it?
It's all right. Move on to the Red Sox. Your last place finishing doormat, putrid Boston Red Sox. So as much as everything that could possibly go right went right in 2013, just as much went wrong for the Red Sox last year. And
oh, yeah.
Andy, again, not to bring up the Giants, but they're following the blueprint. You know, last or first. When you, every year that you make the playoffs, you win the World Series. So, being not the biggest Red Sox fan in the room, and in the spirit of objectivity here, Andy, why don't you give us your thoughts first before me and Keith chime in?
Well, I'd like to first point out that the Giants went 12-4 after winning that first Super Bowl, so I'm not sure your point really works, but. It was enjoyable for me last year. Yeah, they like I said, they had everything go right, and then had the nightmare season the next year. But I think with the moves they made in the offseason, they've definitely got their offense pretty well addressed. There's a lot of questions on the starting pitching, I think, but I do think they're going to have a big bounce back this year.
Well, out of their off-season moves, Andy, which one did you like the most?
I think the money they gave Sandoval is crazy, but I do like him. I think he's an excellent player, and he's going to fit into that lineup really well. I always liked Hanley, even back when he was in the Red Sox farm system. He's a little more questionable to me. There have been some, not so good signs of decline with him when he was with the Dodgers, but that's still a really big bat they're adding. So of the two, I guess I like Panda more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Hanley, those bad signs were, you know, a speed guy who's out of shape and gets hurt all the time. Yeah,
right. Those would be the bad signs.
So,
you know, hopefully, and that stuff doesn't always play well in Boston either, so that's something to keep an eye on. You know what I mean?
No, they definitely added some girth with those two guys. You know, neither one of them is going to be in the body issue of ESPN and magazine.
Is this the heaviest lineup in the league?
Napoli's not a small guy himself.
I mean, Pedroia's bringing the average down, but there's a lot of size out there.
A lot of beef, absolutely. But no, in all seriousness, right. I like their moves. I like their off-season moves quite a bit. I love Sandoval. They overpaid for him, but they can.
Sometimes you have to, yeah.
They can, you know, and why wouldn't you if you can? Until baseball fixes their ridiculous salary.
You can always trade him to the Dodgers in a couple years, right?
Right. They didn't pay him that much. And the Hanley one seemed like, you know, when it seemed like a little bit of overkill to me.
Right.
Like they didn't really need him. And they gave him a lot of money, and they could have spent that money on pitching. I think they would have been okay without him. I mean, right now, I mean, they have a logjam in the outfield, right? If Hanley, Castillo, Betts, Victorino, and Alan Craig can play the outfield too. Not to mention
Nava
and
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Jackie Bradley Jr. will be the MVP of the Paw Sox this
year. That's a big prediction.
I think he'll be traded.
We're going to put Boston Radio on blast real quick.
Oh, yeah?
For Jackie Bradley Jr., for ruining Jackie Bradley Jr. That means you, Jerry Callahan. I mean, I remember, was it last spring? Or it was last spring, right? When they were going to send him down, or was it the spring before? Either way. They were going to send him.
I think it was the spring before.
It was. He hit the shit out of the ball in spring training, but had never really done that before at any level.
Right.
And they were going to send him down, and Callahan is on the radio every day beating the drum and saying that, comparing him favorably to Mike Trout, and saying, you can't send a guy like Mike Trout down because those 10 games are going to make a huge... And the poor kid, expectations, you know? I mean, I think he's a great defensive center fielder, can't hit his way out of a paper bag. I don't think that's going to change. I think he'd be a good utility outfielder somewhere, not in Boston, not this year. But those expectations, he looks like an abject failure when this is what he's been the whole time.
So this is basically Mike Trout's fault is what you're saying?
That's not what it, no. Mike Trout, anyone with half a brain realizes that Mike Trout is very much the exception and
right.
not the rule. Even a can't-miss guy like Bryce Harper, right? Can't miss. I mean, LeBron James can't miss. They bring him up early, and I mean, people are disappointed. I mean, the kid, what is he, 20? I mean, give the kid a chance. Anyway, go ahead, Keith.
Yeah.
That was my rant.
Well, with Jackie Bradley, personally, I think he should have won the Gold Glove last year. I think he got robbed because he hit 190. That's why he didn't win it. But he's still, what, 24, 25? Now, and I don't think he's going to be an all-star batter, but I think he'll be able to stay in a lineup somewhere. But I read yesterday that the Braves were very interested in Jackie Bradley, so you might see something there. I mean, they can obviously afford to move him. Like you said, they got, what, 6-7 outfielders right now?
Yeah, I mean, they almost need to move
Castillo,
guys.
Castillo and Betts can both play center field, so you don't need three center fielders.
I mean, Victorino can play center field, too.
Yeah, if needed, yeah. But I wouldn't doubt if Jackie Bradley ends up on the move. But my favorite move was the Rick Porcello, the trade for Cespedes. I think he's a pretty good pitcher. In my opinion, he's the best pitcher on the staff. I think he's going to be their ace. Buchholz might get the opening day nod because he's been there longer, but Porcello's probably the best pitcher on the staff.
And that's the big problem is that, I mean, he was the Tigers' four.
Right.
I mean, real clearly they're four. And I mean, depending on what you think of Verlander, of course. But
right. But yeah, you're talking Annabelle Sanchez, Scherzer, and Verlander, so in front of them. So, but it, you know, I don't think he pitched like that. Well, he had a better year than Verlander last year.
Right. So did I.
Porcello did.
Except for those, some of those pictures I saw of him. That was a good part of his year. But
yeah, that. I'm not crying for Verlander. Let's just say that
he'll be okay. But no, I mean, I think the pitching. There's some pieces there, but I mean, the big question marks. Like, I mean, if we're gonna say that Toronto can't contend because of their pitching, it's right. tough to argue that the Red Sox can, because the lineup. I mean, it's they're 1-1A, right? They're both very, very good lineups.
Yeah.
I mean, but with Buchholz and Masterson, I mean, those are probably the two worst regular starters in the whole major leagues last year, for most of the season. And they're both on your staff.
Yeah, they were bad.
I mean, Buchholz. I mean, we know they're both capable of pitching better than that. And Buchholz at least kind of turned it around at the end of the year. But I mean, if he gets into one of those funks where, I mean, where he is literally the worst pitcher in the league when he's in those funks. I mean,
right. But on the opposite side of that, though, when he's on,
right,
he's unhittable.
Right. So you're hoping for that. Wade Miley, another guy, you know, kind of similar to that Odorizzi, with a big jump in his strikeout rate last year, which could mean good things. And he's coming from Arizona, which is another hitter's park. So I don't, you know, he could be serviceable as a three. I'm not a fan of Joe Kelly's at all. I don't think he really belongs in a major league rotation. Keith, you can debate me on that one. They signed Egondo, who had some success starting for the Rangers, and I think he's going to be a real important piece this year because, I mean, one of these guys is going to fall. And, I mean, Egondo was never a throw 120 pitches kind of guy, but the bullpen's still good. And if he can get you to the sixth, you know, they can take it from there. So that's my take. What do you think, Keith?
I just think Egondo, though, with his checkered injury past, he might be better suited in the bullpen.
Oh, I agree.
But then again, it depends on which way you look at it. I mean, you know, getting up every other day, is that worse on your arm than, you know, throwing every fifth day? I don't know, but I think he'll be in the bullpen, Egondo.
Oh, I agree. I think he should be in the bullpen, but I can't imagine these five guys lasting the whole season either due to injury or ineffectiveness. He's going to have to make some starts.
I think they're going to have to make a move for a pitcher at some point, right? Like, I find it hard to believe they think this is their set rotation for the rest of the year. You know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, I
don't know what you're hearing, Keith, but there's no move. There's no move imminent. Yeah, they try.
I'm not saying they're going to do something tomorrow, but you know, guys become available as the season goes along, right?
They went after Hamels with a low ball offer. Philly's impossible to trade with. That team didn't trade anybody at the trading deadline. We killed them on here.
It's one of the most mind blowing. Yeah, I can't see what they're thinking at all. It's crazy.
We'll talk about that.
Ruben Amaro is asking for the world for his players. I mean, it's, you know, he's in no position to be demanding, you know, these big ransoms for these players.
Not at all.
And to be fair, I guess we kind of killed the Rays last year for not getting enough for Price, but, I mean, anybody.
Smiley looked really good.
Yeah, that's true.
Smiley,
at least they got something. I mean, they can't pay the guy, you know?
Right.
I mean, they
right.
had to.
Right.
I mean, at least, you know, Philly's paying him. I mean, he's got this massive contract
right.
that they're paying, but they, I mean, you know, like, look at what the, you know, not look at what the Red Sox did with the Dodgers. I mean, at the end of the day, that trade ended up being pretty much.
Well, it basically saved their franchise. They got bailed out by the Dodgers, right?
And it ended up being pretty much a straight salary dump.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and they trade these guys with big names. In huge contracts and didn't get a whole lot back in return. And if you're Philly, why the hell are you paying Cole Hamels? You're not going to contend. I mean, there's no point to having him on the team. You know, it just makes no sense.
Well, to be honest, if you think about it, Cole Hamels' contract is what, 4 and 98? I think that's what it is, a 4 and 96.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he was on the open market, he would get more than that.
Right.
So I personally think that's, you know, I want the Red Sox to trade for him.
Oh, me too. But I don't. I mean, not to give up one of these super duper prospects. You know, something like that.
Swihart, Betts. Yeah, I see. I think that you know, Amaro. If I know Ruben Amaro, he wants Mookie Betts, Blake Swihart, and Henry Owens. You know, and that's the thing. That's ridiculous.
And that's another guy we haven't talked about. Is he could be up later in the year. And if he's the real deal, that'll help bolster the pitching staff as well. So we're coming up on an hour, guys. It's time for everyone's favorite part of the Sports Lounge, where we get Andy, we get Keith, we get Cowboy on the record with their picks so that they can be ridiculed ferociously for the whole season. Keith will tell you about that. You make one stupid prediction and the Cowboy never lets you forget it.
Never lets you forget it, man.
All right. So with that said, I'll be the brave one. I'll be the brave one, and I'll go first. First place. I'm going to say the Toronto Blue Jays. First place. Same way the Orioles did it. Second place, Boston Red Sox. Third place, Baltimore Orioles. Fourth place, New York Yankees. Fifth place, Tampa Bay Rays. Andy.
I'm going to have the patented emotional hedge and have the Red Sox number one. I'll put the
It worked so well in football for you.
Yeah, didn't it?
I think the Patriots are going to go undefeated.
I'm going to go against my better judgment and say the Blue Jays will be second. I'll put the Yankees third. I'm going to say the Rays four, and I think the Orioles will finish in the basement this year.
Ooh. First to worst. I like that.
First to worst. Well, we know it can be done.
Yeah, right. We have proof of that.
Very good, guys. So,
all right. I'm going to take the Red Sox to win the division.
Oh, sorry, Keith. I almost just went right to break.
Yeah, it sounded like you were trying to.
Keith, this guy gets no respect here. That's not right. Keith. We need your picks. You're the expert. Tell us why we're wrong.
All righty. The Red Sox are going to squeak out the division. It's going to be close. Followed by the Baltimore Orioles. The Yankees in third place. The Blue Jays in fourth. And the Rays in fifth. But I will say the division will be tight.
So you don't see anyone running away with it like the Orioles did last
year? No, I agree with that. I think between first and fourth place will be within 10 games.
All right, wow, very tight. So just kind of a whole fountain of mediocrity is what you're thinking.
Basically, yeah.
I can see that. Great stuff, guys. So as you all know, we're here at placetobenation.com. Lots of other great content here at placetobenation.com, including the Place to Be Nation Extra Point, our sister sports podcast. We have a little fun with them, but those guys do a fantastic job. If you like our show, you should definitely tune into theirs. If you're into wrestling, we got a lot of wrestling stuff. If you're into pop culture, we got a lot of pop culture stuff. We have our Song of the 90s tournament is down to the last two songs. And I think it speaks to the Place to Be Nation audience that it's Smells Like Teen Spirit versus Enter Sandman.
I think, yeah, you can draw some conclusions from that.
We got some rockers. We got some rockers in the audience. So the final four was those two songs, along with Foo Fighters' Everlong and REM Losing My Religion, which I'll never figure out for the life of me. But so we got an unhappy crew here.
Beck won a Grammy. You know what I'm saying?
Because you're doing your Kanye. All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, Keith's going to exit the lounge. He's going to head into the head into the Champaign area, so we won't see him for the rest of the night. But Cowboy Senior should be here. We're going to talk some NBA. So enjoy the break, and Cowboy out, but not for long.
Goodbye, y'all.
Consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I am joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richard and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Folks, welcome back to the Sports Lounge. Hope you enjoyed the break. As promised, during the break, Keith made his way over to the Champagne area, like we talked about. He was fantastic in that baseball segment. I don't know what we would do without him. So me and Andy scratched up a, no pun intended, we scratched up a couple of dollars, and he's having a good time back there. So that's good. We also determined where the scratching noise was coming from. The cowboy's a fidgeter. I'm a fidgeter, and I have this really expensive microphone that picks up everything. So I was fidgeting with my headphones and right into the microphone, evidently. So it's like a science project figuring that one out. No, Andy?
It was a forensic investigation.
But here at the lounge, that's what we're about. We're about solutions.
Yes.
Problems and solutions. So hopefully you'll never have to hear that scratching again. And as promised, also during the break, fresh off a visit with the grandkids, the straw that stirs the drink here in the lounge, everybody's favorite, Cowboy Senior. Cowboy Senior, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm sure I can't wait to listen to your first half of your lounge, because when you're doing baseball, you're right in Keith's wheelhouse. And I knew he'd do a great job with that. He is our baseball man.
Absolutely. And Senior, you're our motivator, master motivator. And that was Bobby Knight-esque right there. It was fantastic. So we love it. So we have Senior on, and Andy, we're going to talk about NBA, Western Conference. We're fresh off the All-Star break. Very kind of interesting All-Star weekend. You had a game that I guess you could call basketball happened.
Great. It's dunk. A form of basketball.
Better dunk contest than we've had in a long time. Zach LaVine brought the house down. Senior clued me into that before the contest. Told me watch the LaVine kid. So good call, Senior.
And then so athletic.
And then Steph Curry put on an absolute show in the 3-point contest. That was fantastic. So let's get right to it, guys. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
One sec, guys. One sec.
What the heck is that?
Someone's knocking on the door of the lounge here. All right. I'm going to go get it. Sorry, listeners. This happens sometimes. It's a private club, but, you know, the Cowboys got a lot of friends. What can I say?
We got to talk to security here.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Look at this.
Wow, this place looks like... Ooh, God. Ooh, it smells like white owls in here. Well.
Scott Criscolo, host of the Extra Point, has come to a... You looking for a fight, Scott?
Well, you know, I saw some guy lying down in the hallway outside mumbling something about the Blue Jays. I don't know what his name is, but look, I'm going to say this to you, Cowboy. I heard some complaints. You know, Andy on the last show said that, you know, the cigar supply in this place is a little chintzy. So I decided to bring a box of Macanudos for a peace offering. Senior, hey, it's good to see. Holy crap, you do have Tom Brady feety pajamas. Jeez, that was a joke. Look, you're a great guy, and this show is really good. It's not as good as ours, but it's really good. So I wanted to give you this Heinz Ward jersey, Senior, because I know you love the colors. There you go. That's for you. All right. For you, Cowboy, the doctor wanted to give a peace offering. He's a little rankled that you didn't want to share the spotlight, because if you listen to the Extra Point, which I know everybody does, I always say one of the best sports shows on the internet. I like to share the wealth. But you, Cowboy, on your last show, you decided to take it to a whole new level. You wanted to say the best. So if you don't want to share the stage, my friend, I'm fine with that. So in the immortal words of Scott Hall, WWE Hall of Famer, I might add, you want a war? There's a bottle of scotch. You got a war.
Wow.
I'm out of here.
Wow.
Thank you for the war jersey, because I noticed we'll be able to put it to use after the show, because I noticed that the men's room in the lounge ran out of Charmin.
We might put it to use in the champagne room, Senior, too, if you know what I mean.
It's a family show.
Better than that Steve Grogan jersey you can't fit in anymore. Anyway, enjoy the rest of whatever's going on in here. But we'll be back, and we'll be ready. And Andy, if you ever want to have good quality cigars, you know where the doctor and I are.
Hey, don't go. Before you leave there, tough guy.
Yeah.
Don't go trying to steal my talent. All right. First and foremost, Flanagan's a lounge guy. He's a lounge guy, first and foremost. He likes what we offer here in the lounge. He likes the fucking cigars, Scott.
You believe that, Cowboy. You believe that. Andy, you know where to find me. Good night, gentlemen. Have a good show.
Wow. You believe the balls on that guy? That's like, man, it's like crossing the Berlin Wall right there. That's what that is. Showing his face in the sports lounge.
And, you know, Bruno the Bouncer was just telling me if he saw him walk in and if we needed Bruno to just give him a quick call, but luckily he stepped out quickly for his own safety.
We could have taken care of that ourselves, Senior. We don't need Bruno. We have Andy.
This is true.
Wow. So listeners, I hope you're ready for this face-off because, you know, it's been a war of words. Until Criscolo, that piece of shit, comes onto our home turf with these fake fucking gifts, acting like he's the fucking man.
Big timing.
You know what? You know why, Scott, you know, when you hear this, Scott, you know why I don't share the spotlight? Because there is only one lounge. And we are the best sports show on the internet. And we're not going to share the spotlight. And all those nice things I said about you earlier, I take back. So we need to get this war done. And Andy, if you turn sides, I swear to fucking God, you're never allowed back in here. The girls aren't going to like that.
No, I can't have that happen.
All right.
That's just not an option.
Man. Any parting shots, Senior, before we get to the NBA?
Wait till Carpenter hears about this unprovoked attack on the lounge.
Yeah, Rob.
He's really going to be upset. Man. Rob, we know you're there for us, too.
Absolutely. Wow. All right. Well, I'm a little flustered. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little flustered after that. So Let me collect myself here. I take a nice drag off my fantastic fucking cigar that we have here in the lounge. Pass the war jersey, senior. I think I'm going to throw up.
There it is. I hope Cusculo isn't driving, because what I saw there, he wouldn't be passing a breathalyzer, that's for sure. I hope he's smart.
Beer balls. And we don't pass judgment here on the lounge for people who, you know, if you can't pass the breathalyzer, that's okay.
All right.
This is true. That's a good point.
Let's walk it back a minute.
As long as you're not driving. I don't mean it like that.
Oh, okay.
As far as appearing on the show, to each his own, everybody's having a good time here in the lounge. And Scott's entitled to have that good time as well.
I see.
I know Scott well, and I know that I'm sure that Anthony was driving him. 100% sure.
100%, yeah.
All right. Very good. Wow, I can't wait for this. Wow. All
right. Bring him on.
Bring them on, is right. Bring them on. Western Conference.
Here we go.
So you great have, you know, just what does it say about the West? So the West is like the major leagues, kind of, and the East is sort of like AAA. So there's, you know, at least six teams in the West that I think would, you know, be top three in the East, if not better. But right now, the Kings of the Castle, 42-9, Golden State Warriors. They made that move in the offseason, you know, or they got rid of Mark Jackson. They were winning. They got rid of Mark Jackson, brought in Steve Kerr, and it's been nothing but roses. I mean, they are their great squad. Curry, Thompson, Draymond Green is a stud. It's a good team. What do you think of the Warriors there, senior?
Yeah, super team. Best offensive team in the league. Obviously led by the best guard combination, one of the greatest guard combinations you're ever going to see, really, especially on the offensive end of the floor. The Splash Brothers are unbelievable. It's amazing. Steph's probably, arguably, the MVP of the league so far this year, and you could say that Klay Thompson is first team All-NBA, just a great combination there. And the guy that you mentioned, Green, is a guy that you can't just look at the numbers. He's one of those guys that'll get down and dirty. Whoa. The glass, really play some D and still do a little bit of scoring for you. I mean, he is the guy that you win basketball games with. He's the kind of guy that can be that cement piece on a championship team. I guess if you want to talk about a, you know, if there's any weakness in this team, that, you know, they're really not that big up front, but the way they get up and down the court, they kind of don't have to be, and they do have the one big guy, Bogut, who does a great job blocking shots and clogging up the middle, and they don't really go to him on offense, but he gets his points the garbage way, and he's a perfect fit on that team. And then they bring Spates off the bench to spell him. And they got guys like Lee, veterans like Udine Iguodala. Guys like that could pay dividends in the playoffs. I mean, yeah, they're just a really good team. I mean, it's going to be a tough conference to come out of, no doubt about it. You know, you could look at, you said six, you could look at eight teams that could come out of there. The conference is that good. You could look at, I mean, let's put it this way. The San Antonio Spurs are in seventh place right now, and no one would be shocked if they won the whole thing. I mean, Oklahoma City's not in the playoffs right now, and no one would be that shocked if they won the whole thing. So it's a great conference, but so far, no doubt, these Warriors have been the class of the conference, and I, for one, would love to see them get to the finals. It would be great. They're so much fun to watch, especially watching those guards play, but they do have the good complementary parts to go with them, too. They're certainly a force to be reckoned with. They haven't proven playoffs yet, so that's the only thing they have to show us now. And obviously, Steve Kerr is pushing all the right buttons. I think he relates really well to the players. I don't know, you know, if you're watching the All-Star game when they mic'd them up in the huddle and the way he was completely not serious, saying, okay, we come down, you throw the ball to that guy, then you throw the ball to the other guy up the court, and somebody take a shot, okay? That was him drawing up a play at the end of the quarter. He was
you know, he had it all right in perspective and the kind of game. And I think it showed me that he's the kind of guy that these guys want to play for him, that, you know, he's not that far removed from being one of them, and he's relating really well to them and being a good leader at the same time. So, yeah, all the pieces are there for the Warriors. They're certainly capable of going the distance.
Agreed. The home court advantage is a big deal, too. They're 23-2 at home. And, I mean, if they can hold on to the number one seed, I mean, someone's going to have to go in there and win a game or two in the playoffs, which is a tall order.
Not to get too ahead of ourselves, but, you know, kind of the ugly thing about Oklahoma City's record is that they could end up being the eighth seed, which will be a really, you know, not the nicest reward for Golden State if they do end up with the first seed facing maybe one of the tougher opponents in the very first round. But, I mean, that would lead to one of the probably, you know, I would say that would be the best 1-8 matchup of all time. It would be really interesting, but I mean, it's just going to suck for Golden State if they have this, you know, great season where they're, you know, probably a top five defense and a top five offense, and just to potentially go out in the first round with that kind of a season is really unfortunate.
It's a joke. I mean, it's. I mean, with Durant, I mean, obviously Durant's been, you know, missed about half the games, right? And, you know, he's MVP. So, and they're still only a half a game out of eighth in the West. I think pretty clearly they're not going to have too much trouble overtaking Phoenix.
Yeah, right? Now that they're officially caught up, I think the smart money would be on Oklahoma City there, yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm rooting like hell for either Oklahoma City to really turn it on, which they're more than capable of.
True.
Or there are a couple of teams in the middle there that I think have, you know, certainly not your average eight seeds, but if I'm Golden State, I'd much rather play like the Mavericks. That's a team that, you know, they're good, but they're also capable. I think, you know, Rondo is hurt, but Rondo getting acclimated. They've made some changes. Dirk's not quite what he used to be. I mean, they're anchored by Tyson Chandler, who's a great defensive center, but clearly an easier matchup than Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Dallas has a much I think they kind of, well, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Thing is, if you really look at it, man, it seems almost impossible that Oklahoma City's going to finish higher than eight.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
One of those other teams, uncharacteristically, starts losing a lot of games. I mean, they all have winning percentages 640 and over, and the closest team besides Phoenix would be San Antonio, and there's six games behind them. You know, you're talking about Dallas. They're seven games behind Dallas. I mean, that's a lot to make up with less than 30 games left in the season, you know?
Oh, absolutely. The Clippers would be another.
Those teams just aren't going to die. Yeah. You know? Yeah, the Clippers have been playing bad.
Well, so and Blake Griffin's hurt. I mean, that's, right. You know, yeah. So that's a team.
Well, maybe that's a possibility. Okay.
But I mean, I don't know, honestly, if I'm Golden State. But, I mean, Griffin's going to be healthy for the playoffs. Would you rather play the Clippers as the 1-8? I mean, the Clippers aren't a real 8 seed, you know?
No, they got one. Maybe they got as good a starting five as there is in basketball. It's just when they have Griffin, they're just not a very deep team. Yeah, I think that would be better than playing Oklahoma City.
Agreed. Agreed. The Clippers, I think, are a tough matchup, too, for Golden State because of exactly what you said. I mean, if Golden State has a weakness outside of Bogut, it's post-defense, and you never know if he's going to stay healthy. I mean, he can't play a ton of minutes. And with Griffin and DeAndre inside and CP3 feeding them, you could definitely see a scenario where they beat him to death on the inside. I mean, Memphis is the other team that can do that, but chances are they wouldn't play them until the conference finals.
Right.
This is Golden State, looking at the West, they're all good. There's no easy matchup to the West.
That's true.
As I said, all eight of those teams, if you throw Oklahoma City in as the other team to make the playoffs, honestly, they're all capable of going all the way. I mean, honestly, any one of those teams winning the championship wouldn't be a big shock. It really wouldn't.
I think I might be shocked by the Clippers, but that might just be a personal bias. I mean, like you said, they have a really good starting lineup, and they could put it all together and win a championship. It's certainly possible.
The starting five is second to none when they're all healthy, really. You know, it's a great starting five. They're not a deep team. And the trade deadline's tomorrow. Maybe something could happen to change that. We already know, pretty much know, that Dallas is about to strengthen their depth up. It's looking like Amari's going there, which that's a nice fit for Dallas. It's just a guy like that to come off the bench. You know?
He's great. I mean, if he can play 15 or 20 minutes a night, he's great. And relying on him for anything more than that's a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
But that's all they need, and that's, I think that's all they want. You know, it's a perfect fit for them, so...
I guess it could work out for him if you go by the conserving his energy, you know, going all out for 15 minutes. Maybe that's where he is in his career now.
And he can still score. I mean, he can definitely still score. I mean, he scored for the Knicks. It's, you know, he's a big what if. I mean, when he went to New York, I mean, he was like...
He was lights out for his first couple months. Yeah.
MVP candidate type lights out, and then the knee, you know, the injuries, but... Yeah, I mean, he is. He's a good fit on that team. What do you guys think of the Grizzlies?
I've always liked them. I think Marc Gasol is one of my favorite players in the league. And, you know, this feels like their year to me. Like, this is their best chance to make it to the finals and possibly win a championship. It's so tough in this conference. It's hard to... Yeah, it's probably just going to come down to who matches up well against who, and I think that's going to be the problem for Memphis, is who they're going to have to beat to get there.
Yeah, I mean, if the season ended today, it would be San Antonio in the first round, where they would probably be underdogs, right? I mean, legitimately.
I think, probably.
The way Pop rests guys, I mean, you know, San Antonio just wants to get in the tournament, and then they feel they can beat anybody.
Well, they're really coming on. Their defense is climbing the ratings, and you know, I think we all have faith that their offense can put it together. They all have played together for so long. There's so much continuity and familiarity there. I think they're going to be a really tough out in the playoffs. Yeah,
right. And I mean, even like a guy like Kawhi Leonard hasn't.
Right, he's missed.
I mean, he's missed some time, and I mean, Pop, you know, Popovich, he's. He's the Bill Belichick of the NFL, of the NBA, you know. I mean, he really works the system and knows what he's doing and rests guys, and it's, you know, makes them so tough come playoff time. And I think Memphis, if they can get Golden State, is the biggest challenge for Golden State. Based on, you know, a lot of these other teams, you know, Portland, Houston, Dallas, the Clippers to an extent, Oklahoma City, they run and gun a little bit and try to outscore you. Mm-hmm. And that really plays into Golden State's hands. Right. I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen, but, you know, trying to outscore, you know, just go out and outscore that team 4 out of 7 games is not going to be easy. Memphis slows the game down, playoff basketball, beats the hell out of you with Zebo and Gasol. And I love the addition of Jeff Green for them. I mean, they need a little scoring punch, and he can certainly provide that. And I think Mike Conley is a pretty underrated point guard. And then, I mean, they have Tony Allen, who can match up with a guy like Klay Thompson and maybe not shut him down completely, but he can definitely limit him. What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, another couple of guys that you didn't mention. I mean, you know, you want to talk about a team that could be built for the playoffs. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's up and down all season, and then the playoffs, a lot of times it's going to come down to, at the end of games, who can play that half-court offense, half-court defense better. And they're kind of built for that. They're a veteran team. They got the two horses up front, like you said, Gasol and Randolph, who are a dynamite. And then you start talking veteran presence and defensive players, Tony Allen, two veterans that they, you know, a veteran that they were getting Jeff Green, and Tayshaun Prince was probably a great acquisition as another veteran guy for the playoffs. And Vince Carter hasn't been that bad for them. You know, they can come in with a lot of depth, and it's veteran depth that are going to be really good for the playoffs. The kid Kufis is another big body that they can bring in to bang off the bench. Guys like that, playoff time, so valuable. I think if you look at the whole Western Conference and say what two teams are really to jump out at you as being built for the playoffs, right now they would meet in the first round. San Antonio and Memphis. They just look like playoff teams, you know. And being an old-fashioned guy, those other run-and-gun Western teams are more built for the regular season and have trouble finishing, closing the deal in the playoffs because it comes down to a half-court game a lot. And just like anything else, the game's officiated a little different in the playoffs and they allow them to be a little more physical. And this kind of a team, if you take all that into consideration, you look at Memphis and you really like them. Really, really like them as a team that can win those games down and dirty in the playoffs. If you're watching like TNT and the NBA Network and you get all the former players that speak at halftime and give you their analysis, when they talk about the West, most of them say, I think Memphis is the team to beat. And I think that's why. I think that's what they look at is that old-fashioned, tough, half-court playoff team. That's Memphis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of funny. The next two teams are tied, say, identical records, because I think they're pretty similar. The Blazers and the Rockets. So of all the teams we're talking about, these are the two that I have the hardest time seeing making the finals, actually coming out of the West. So I think when they play each other, it's a lot of fun to watch. They play a team like Golden State, like Oklahoma City, it's a lot of fun to watch, but I don't think they quite have the horses to win those series. And then on the other side of it, I think they don't quite have what it takes to match up to a Memphis or a San Antonio. With that said, I mean, they're both fantastic teams. Houston in particular, I mean, if Dwight Howard comes back healthy, gives them a little bit of a better chance. And, I mean, Harden is... I mean, can you imagine if Oklahoma City would have just kept him instead of Ibaka?
And I know it's annoying for Oklahoma City fans that it keeps coming up, but it's just, it's one of the, like you said before, it's like the biggest what if of, I don't know, of last couple of years. They would be like a historically great team.
I mean, you would have three legit first team All-NBA guys on the same team.
And Serge Ibaka would be their fourth best player. It's right. Crazy.
I think if they were going to keep Harden, Ibaka would have probably had to go. They paid Ibaka. Yeah. They paid Ibaka. Okay. And
fair.
I mean, honestly, I mean, talk about a big three. I mean, you know, a team like the Celtics got it done with aging KG, Pierce, yeah, and Ray Allen. I mean, this big three is way, way better than that. I mean, Westbrook, I guess, is the worst player out of those three. And, I mean, I can't think of two point guards I'd rather have than him. I love, yeah, Russell Westbrook's game. A lot of people don't. It's, you know, I love a
it
guy.
It could be infuriating.
I mean, maybe a little bit lacking in, like, the basketball IQ area. But when you look at a guy that, I mean, he kind of reminds me of Dez Bryant, right? I mean, he's who just goes to war and is just 100 yeah, miles an hour all the time and doesn't give
a
shit.
And he just seems angry all the time, too.
Oh, he does, yeah. And he just doesn't give a shit. If he misses 10 shots in a row, he's taking the 11th shot with Durant standing wide open in the corner. He just doesn't care. And, I mean, that's the kind of guy I want. That's the kind of guy I want leading my team. Senior.
The thing is, you know, when you watch Houston play, I mean, Harden dominates the ball, like, a real lot. Like that wouldn't work if he were on the court at the same time with Westbrook and Durant. So I'm not really sure if the three of them together would work. Maybe that's crazy to say, because everything you said about the three of them is right. They are three legitimate first-team NBA guys, there's no doubt about it.
I mean, they made the finals, the three of them.
They've only won basketball, yeah, but, you know, I don't know how much were they all on the court together, and Harden certainly didn't play.
He was kind of like a second unit guy.
Sixth
but
man.
He's overqualified for that.
I don't think he'd be willing to now. You know what I mean? Like he wants to have the ball all the time when he's on the court. I mean, he really, really dominates the ball, maybe more than any other player in the NBA right now. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm just saying I don't know if that would work in that context with Westbrook and Durant right now. I just don't think so. But the other thing about what you were talking about, keeping Ibaka instead of him, don't you kind of not dislike a little bit what Ibaka's game has morphed into this year, where suddenly he's playing out on the perimeter so much standing out there and shooting threes. I thought he was a better player when he played in the low post more.
Oh, I completely agree. Well, I mean,
I think he's got way too much to that, and I don't think that's helping them at all. You know, I think Ibaka with this new game of his, where okay, you want to shoot the three a little more, I can see it. You know, he used to hardly shoot any of them, but now it's like 30% of his shots or even more. It's ridiculous. So, I don't know.
You fall in love with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's all right out there. He's not going to win the three-point shooting contest or anything, but he's okay shooting threes, but I think he was a much better player on the box, and he's not there anymore. Especially considering they have Durant and Westbrook. They don't really need him standing out there shooting threes, you know?
Right. So, in the context of that team, they need him down low. And, I mean, at this point, offensively, he's a stretch four who doesn't shoot that well. You know, I mean, he thinks he's LaMarcus Aldridge or something, and it's just not the case. His game's regressed. I mean, he showed, just brimming with potential, just like why they locked him up. And he's really plateaued. Really plateaued. I mean, if those other two guys weren't so good, you're not a real contender with Serge Ibaka as the third best guy on your team, I don't think.
No, I agree. Those other two guys are so super that you give that team a chance to beat anybody. You know, Durant's one of those guys. He's arguably the best player in basketball when he's healthy. I mean, you could certainly make the argument that he's the best player in basketball. And Westbrook is such a unique player. He's so aggressive and so athletic. The supporting cast really isn't that great. You know, maybe I guess it would be. You know, I say you could see them going all the way, but it would be hard. It would be hard for them to get through the West playoffs without the home court advantage in any series. Basically, mostly a two-man team. No, let's face it. You know, compared to the other teams in the West that are much more complete, you know, than Oklahoma City. So I'm sitting here discussing this, and I'm talking myself out of Oklahoma City being a team that I think can win it. I don't know. I think they're going to make the playoffs. Especially you look at their schedule and Phoenix's schedule, and they've got a much easier schedule left, and obviously Durant's healthy now. Yeah, they're definitely going to make the playoffs, but I would be very surprised to see them come out of the West. Them, Portland, Houston, there you go, out of the eight, those three teams, and the Clippers, okay? Any of those four would be more of a surprise. The other four, you talk Golden State, Memphis.
Mavs?
And San Antonio. Yeah, I don't see the Mavs either. Okay, Golden State, Memphis, San Antonio, I think, are a click above the other five.
See, I got to disagree on Oklahoma City. I think we forget how good they are when those two guys are healthy. And I mean, you say the supporting cast is, I mean, they're built that they can throw bodies at a team like Memphis. I mean, they have Adams, McGarry. Just got healthy. He looks pretty good. Perk is still there. I mean, but say for what he is, you know. He's still
six fouls, I guess. Yeah,
he can certainly bang with Zebo.
When we were giving names on the other teams, Cowboy, beyond the top two players, we were saying a lot better. Oh, top three, even. Okay, so I'll throw Ibaka in there. We're saying names that are a lot better players than the guys you just named.
Well, then you have to look at Reggie Jackson, too. Jackson asked for a trade.
Okay, he's a good player.
Well, and I would think there's a chance that they trade him, and you don't know what they're going to get back for him. I mean, he's a guy who would start for more than half the teams in the league. And, I mean...
Which is why he's looking for a trade. And,
right,
because
he's stuck behind Westbrook. They're kind of very similar players, where Jackson's just not as good.
Yes. It's maybe we're doing this a day early because when is the trading deadline? Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow. So, right, we'll all this stuff we're saying could be completely moot tomorrow, but yeah.
Yeah, and you hear Dragic is probably on the move.
Right.
That's the big scuttle. But I don't think that affects them negatively too much. I thought it was stupid that they signed Isaiah Thomas. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is really, really good.
It kind of worked out, right? They got him for a really reduced rate, and now they're in a position where they can trade Dragic. Yeah.
No problem. No, it does. It does work out that they can get an asset for Dragic. But I mean, they insisted coming into the year that, you know, that we want to roll with these three point guards, which made no sense at all to me.
Teams always say that, though. I think we all knew.
That's true. They were pulling the wool over our eyes, Andy.
Yes, they did.
But speaking of Portland, we've kind of no-sold Portland. I haven't talked about them too much. They're a good squad. I just feel like they don't match up. Like, if they were in the East, I would pick them to come out of the East. Yeah. I just think they don't match up real well to some of the teams in the West. But they're goaded, too. I mean, Lillard's another hot and cold guy, and he doesn't get too cold, but when he's on, and he can do it for games at a time, I mean, they can beat anybody. I mean, he just goes unconscious.
He's the only guy that really comes close to that Steph Curry, just, you know, hitting threes off the bounce from everywhere.
6 feet behind the line.
Yeah.
But, like, if you remember their playoff series last year with Houston, I mean, you knew that shot was – he was having one of those games. And you knew that game when it was going in. There wasn't even a question.
And Aldridge can get on that same level, too, not with the three-point shooting, but he can shoot a team right out of a game, too.
Right. Oh, he's
in a good way. He could shoot, you know, the other team.
He's a great player. And I mean, Wes Matthews is a really good player.
Wes Matthews is a great shooter.
For them to take the next step up, Batum's had a bad year. Can't put three good games in a row together, and he's another guy. He's in the Serge Ibaka club for flashed lots of potential and now seems to not really know what to do. So
yeah, he was a bit of a disappointment last year, and he's regressed even more this year. If you go back 2 years ago, he was really good. I mean, he was. Stuff the stat sheet, do everything guy, you know, the Swiss Army knife guy, night in, night out, and something's happened to his game. He's regressed.
He's got a rep as a defensive stopper, too, which isn't very well earned. Yeah. Like, he gets lit up a little bit.
Robin Lopez is a nice energy guy coming off the bench, a nice dick that does some
well, they
good
start, I mean, he's their center. He's their starting center.
Kamen. So they've got some bodies coming up.
Kamen's been bad. Their depth is, I think, a big problem. CJ McCollum has looked pretty, you know, like could be a little bit of an energizer, but yeah, their depth's a problem. Houston's depth is a little bit of a problem too. Outside of, I mean, they've a little log jam at forward since they brought in the anti-rabbit's foot, Josh Smith. And now Terrence Jones is back, and they can't find minutes for Terrence Jones because they have Josh Smith, and still shooting threes. Yeah,
if Howard were healthier, they would be much more formidable. I don't know. You got to wonder what they're going to get out of Howard.
They look you know, when he was playing he was well Dwight early Howard, in the year.
Yeah, if he's the real Dwight Howard, I mean, that makes them obviously a much better team, but. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to come back 100%.
Yeah, and the real Dwight Howard is a little,
really nice player.
When you say the real Dwight Howard, I think the real Dwight Howard has shifted over the last few years where, you know, he's a 17-12. Doesn't dominate like he used to. His offensive game never developed it. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, he's another guy who, I mean, he could have been the next, like, Shaquille O'Neal, you know, and never developed his offensive game. He's lost some of his athleticism through injury and just through age. And he's a 17-12 with a couple of blocks, which is very, very good and makes them a better team. But, I mean, he was healthy in the playoffs last year, right? And they got bounced in the first round. And, I mean, Harden's picked up his game to another level this year. But for them... I mean, honestly, it depends on the matchup. But for them to get past the second round, and I mean, depending on who they play the first round, like if it's Dallas, I think they may be able to beat Dallas. But if they get Portland again, or if they get the Clippers with Blake Griffin, Harden's going to have to go like Michael Jordan for them to really make a run. I mean, really put the team on his back. And I mean, he's shown it with, I mean, you know, some of these lines before the All-Star break were just ridiculous. 42-9-9. I mean, so he is capable, but you just got to wonder. I mean, with his, you know, a big part of Harden's game is he gets to the free throw line at such a higher rate than everybody else. Such a higher rate. It's not even close. And they tend to let a little bit more go in the playoffs. So does that affect them? It's just, I have a trouble seeing a path for them.
Yeah, it is. The West is so tough. I mean, they're a nice team, but no, you know, I'd be shocked if they get through the West.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely. You know, if you look at the top, that team, top to bottom, and the fact that, you know, what you said, Howard, what the real Dwight Howard, you don't even know if you're going to get that. You know, you don't know how healthy he's going to be. It's a huge question mark. And yeah, they have trouble matching up with a lot of teams. They count on Harden for a lot, but he can do a lot. And they got some other nice parts. The kid Monte Yunus is a nice player.
Yeah, another one who's
Beverly's a pretty good point guard. You know,
well, Beverly's real helpful against the Golden States and Portlands of the world because of his defense.
Yeah.
But I mean, Lillard lit him up pretty good.
And when you're looking at what they have to face, it's hard to imagine them coming out of the West. I agree.
Yeah, and so out of these teams, out of the Western Conference, I mean, we talked about all the playoff teams. Who do you think out of this non-playoff bunch? You have New Orleans. We'll say Phoenix. Phoenix. It's a real tough road for Phoenix unless Oklahoma City gets another injury. So New Orleans, Phoenix, Denver, Utah, the Kings, the Lakers, and the Wolves. Who do you kind of see as an up-and-comer in there, and who do you think is going to be stuck there for a long time?
I think, I don't know if this is wishful thinking, but I think New Orleans has to be seen as an up-and-comer just because Anthony Davis is already so good and still so young that I'd really like to see that team take a step forward next year.
And they're only a game and a half out of the eighth seed.
That's true.
Again, Oklahoma City is the big elephant in the room.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Davis is already, he's got a shot. I believe the season ended today, he'd break the NBA single season PER
record. That, yeah.
Yeah, it was like Wilt Chamberlain from.
That's right. Yeah, I think I did see that.
Yeah. So, and I mean, he's 21. He's 21 years old. He couldn't even come into the lounge last year, guys.
And he wanted to, too. We had to turn him early.
Yeah, sorry, Anthony. Next time, buddy.
Get you back this year, buddy.
But he's he's an incredible player.
And if you listen to Chuck, Sir Charles calls him the MVP of the league because he says he dominates both ends of the floor more so than any other player. And he's going to do nothing. He could get better. You know, it's scary to see how good this kid's going to be.
He should get better.
They got some decent parts around him. Yeah, you know, they got some decent pieces around Tyreek.
Well, I think that's the question, though. Yeah, I'm not sold on the management there.
Yeah, I mean, Tariq Evans is, I mean,
he belongs in the league, but yeah.
No, and he's good. He puts up big numbers, but he reminds me of that kind of guy, like big numbers on a bad team,
right?
Kind of guy. And Drew Holiday's a good point guard. We'll give him that. But they need they need more around him. Ryan Anderson is good at what he is, which is, you know, knocking down threes. But they need more around him. And maybe they get a guy like Chris Dunn in the draft. You know, man, their second unit. Then they're going places.
There you go.
And Andy, so out of those teams, who do you think? Let me just ask you about the Lakers.
Oh yeah.
What do you think about the Lakers sitting at 13-40? I mean, just as bad, if not worse, than everybody thought they would be. At least Philly, you know, Philly is doing it on purpose.
Right.
So the Lakers and the Knicks, I feel like, are kind of in a league of their own. That they're awful, and it's tough to see light at the end of the tunnel. The Lakers are gonna probably bring in a big free agent or two. Kobe's coming back, maybe.
It's just, such as it is.
Yeah, it's just a difficult situation there. What do you make of them?
I kind of like the theory that the Lakers are doing the stealth tanking, whereas, you know, the Sixers are out there publicly admitting that they're not expecting to win this year. The Lakers go in saying all the right things, trying to keep Kobe as happy as they can, and still knowing that they weren't going to be very good this year. And, you know, they're going to get probably a good draft pick out of this. So maybe this is all according to plan. I don't know. But what was the question? I'm sorry. I forgot already.
Oh, just your take on the Lakers. You answered the question, Andy.
All right, good.
I know you're still flustered from Chris Golo coming in here. And,
I know.
You know, using your name in vain.
Attacking my manhood.
Yeah, there's probably better ways to say that. But the so I'll give you mine. Team on the rise. I agree, New Orleans. Absolutely. I had to cough there. Too much cigar smoke. But the Kings. We should talk about Boogie Cousins while we're talking about the West.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like he's the most dominant big guy offensively since Shaq. And I mean, I think he's really the real deal. I don't think he's as much of a poison in the locker room as other people do. And I mean, he's just a kid. He's a young guy. And I mean, I see him. I mean, he's, what is he, 25-12 this year, something like that. And yeah. I mean, I only see him getting better. Do you think, you know, the thing with Shaq was Shaq always won, right? And Boogie doesn't win. So,
right.
I think that there, I mean, Rudy Gay is another guy, perfect, you know, he's in the Tariq Evans club of, you know, generally speaking, if he's one of your best players, you're not that great of a team.
You know, he does seem to be the guy who puts up good numbers, but the team never gets any better when he's around.
Yeah, well, I mean? And the advanced metrics guys don't like him, you know.
Right.
He shoots a lot of contested long two-pointers and doesn't shoot them at a high percentage and doesn't contribute in a lot of other areas. You know, so I mean, they need to build around Boogie, but I think Boogie is a true building block, and I think he's the best center in the NBA.
Yeah, he's a I agree.
Senior Boogie,
I'd argue with that. He's super, man. He's a true power player. So, you know, he's fun to watch. He's a physical specimen. He's an athlete. He's big. He's dynamite.
He can shoot too.
Yeah, he's a great offensive player. But again, you look at what's around them, and you say they got to do better. You know, they got to do a lot better if they're going to win. I mean, it's just not a good team.
I think the sad thing with him is he actually seemed happy earlier this season when they were winning games, and then, you know, he got the
viral meningitis.
Thank you. Went out and the team went in the tank. They fired Malone, and it's just been a nightmare ever since that. But it was such a bright beginning. Like, I was finally happy for, you know, he seemed happy. I was happy for him. It's just too bad it went the other way.
Yeah. I mean, do you think George Karl can work some magic there? I mean, I would assume he's not there just for this year, right? I mean, it's...
Right. That story is a whole nother debacle. But yeah, I think Karl's the kind of innovative coach who can really get the most out of Boogie, and you know we're giving him this glowing reviews, so I have some high hopes for him.
Yeah, I agree with that, Andy, and you know the way that Sacramento as an organization, just in general, has not done a lot of good things, and the way they handled that was just awful. I mean, where they got Ty Corbin on the sideline, where it's like public knowledge that they're courting somebody else. But I think
and
the end result is the right one.
They were going to let him hang out the whole year until someone else started talking to Karl, and then they pulled the trigger. It was just sad.
But I do think the end result is the right one for that team, with Karl, with Boogie. You're going to get another high draft pick. You have some young guys on that team who could develop, and we'll see. So I didn't want to just say New Orleans like you guys. As far as I don't like what Denver's done. You know, I think they've let everything pass them by. Now they're big sellers here at the trade deadline. They're saying they could, you know, the only guy untouchable is Nurkic. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, the rookie center. But they said even Lawson and Fareed could be had. And, you know, just a team where the sum of the parts doesn't equal the parts. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they got a lot of good play of Ty Lawson, Aflalo, Fareed, and Wilson Chandler. It's a good you know, it's a good group, but
they're all kind of like weird fits, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like they don't fit into like the easily defined roles, which is why Karl was such a good coach for that team. He knows how to get the best out of weird players.
Yeah, and it's possible Gallinari. I mean, he eventually comes back to his old self. Yeah. It's not going to be this year. I mean, he's
right.
decimated by the injuries, but so that's my team on the downswing. I think they're doing the right thing by blowing it up.
Yeah, I agree.
You got any thoughts on any of the non-playoff teams, Senior? We haven't mentioned Utah.
Yeah, what's there to say about the Jazz?
A couple of young point guys who are not sure if they're good or not. I mean, that Trey Burke looks pretty good, but they start Dante Exum. Go figure.
I'll tell you one of the big problems, and you like Rudy Gobert. Obviously, Gordon Hayward is a really good player.
He's expensive, too, for what he is.
Yeah, he is good, though. I mean, if you watch him play, I like watching him play. He's a nice player. He's multi-talented, versatile, very good player. Scores.
Gritty, heady guy.
Could get better. The thing is, you're looking at all these teams, you know, all these non-playoff teams that we're looking at tonight. Number one, it's hard in the NBA in general to go from bad to good. Agreed, it doesn't happen fast like it does in like the NFL or something. You know, it's not from year to year things change. Number two, if you're in the West, my God, it just seems monumental to be able to get into that good group in the West because there's so many good teams over there. So. All of these teams have a really hard job. I mean, yeah, you look at Utah's roster, and it's not that bad. It's really not, you know. Favors is a decent big guy. The kid, Rudy Gobert, shows definitely some potential, some athleticism. Alec Burks isn't a bad player. Even Canner's not bad. You know, Trey Burke's a decent guy. I mean, they got some nice parts, just like you said about the Nuggets. You know, they got some nice parts, but. Man, it's hard in the West. You transplant these teams to the East, and they're fighting for the playoffs. Utah might be a playoff team in the East.
Oh, I would say they probably would be.
Brutal to turn it around in the West because it's so damn good. You know?
I think Gobert is the real deal. Real deal, and I mean, they have that situation where they have Favors, Cantor, and Gobert, and can't obviously play the three of those guys together. And there's been talk of Cantor's still only 21 years old, too. But there's been talk of flipping him at the trade deadline. And I like it. I like it for them to get Gobert on the court. Favors, I think he undersold Favors a little bit. I think he's a very good, very good player. And he's still young, and he's getting better. Just from the eye test, and maybe I'm off, but I think they swung and missed with Exum. We'll see. I mean, he's really, really raw. I mean, how many games...
Yeah.
He's got to have the record for most games started at point guard where he doesn't score a point. Literally. Go look it up. Go look it up. He's been starting for the last month or so. There's, you know, 5 or 6 games where he has 0 points. And, I mean, Burke's never going to be a, you know, Chris Paul or anything like that. But at least he's a serviceable point guard where I think in that draft it hurts that they swung and missed on Exum, if I'm right about that. And then I wasn't a huge fan of locking up. Gordon Hayward's a decent enough player, but he wouldn't have gotten... I mean, he's perfect for Utah. Right, the Utah folks love him.
Didn't someone give him that max contract and they had to match? Right. I mean, I think they were kind of stuck, right?
Right.
Like, whether you think he's worth that amount of money or not,
I don't think
the market was going to give it to him.
That's true. Oh, keep me in check, Andy. It's just he screams Utah. That's the first thing. I mean, with the
is it the skin color?
It's the haircut. No, I mean, not so much the skin color, although obviously, I guess
that plays a part, I think.
It's the haircut.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
The haircut. I mean, I don't know. He's a, you know, like Hornacek.
He's a really good basketball player, though, you know. I mean, we talk about who's a max contract guy.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, do you see him as the best player on a championship team? I don't know.
Third best, maybe.
Yeah. I can see him as a second best. I'll give him that.
How many max contracts guys are there in the league, you know?
Well, more guys get max contracts than there are players who deserve it. That's probably true.
I mean, he's a really good player. He's really good. He does a lot. I really like watching him play. He's a really good player. He scores. He moves the team. He's got his wits about him. He's a really good offensive player. Very, you know, does everything you would want a guy at his position to do.
And he's just a kid.
You know, I'm not saying he's one of the five best players in the league or one of the 10 best players in the league, but, you know, I mean, Rondo wants a max contract. I mean,
yeah, true.
You know,
see, I love that we finally got the Andy snicker.
Sometimes you got to take that max contract thing out of the equation. You know, he's a really good basketball player. He's certainly not a problem over there. That's for sure.
And in the NBA, you do have to overpay guys sometimes.
Yeah, it's a fact of life. You know, you look at their team. If there's a max contract player on the Jazz, it's Gordon Hayward. There's no doubt about it. You know,
agreed.
He's definitely a player. He's really good.
Agreed. Well, very good guys. So. We'll do our predictions here. Instead of predicting the whole order of finish, I'll ask you: Does everybody think the top seven holds, and Oklahoma City is the eighth playoff team?
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
totally. Mm-hmm.
All right, who do you have coming out of the West, Senior?
Memphis. No matter who you pick, you're gonna have to qualify it with this. That this conference is so good that, I mean, as it stands now, yeah, they could lose in the first round to San Antonio, but then again, who knows if San Antonio finishes 7-2? The difference between the seventh place team and the third place team, Portland, is two games. So that's a muddle. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, anybody we pick could lose in the first round. I mean, the West is so good, but I just like the way Memphis is. I like the way Memphis is built for the playoffs more than any other team out West. You know, if it's not going to be San Antonio again, and I know Golden State's playing great ball, and it could be them, but I think come playoff time, come crunch time, when you get into that big seven-game series down the stretch of games, and you've got to be able to perform at both ends of the court in a half-court game, I think Memphis has the horses to do it. I think they're a team that's built for playoff basketball more so than anybody else in the West. So they're my pick. I like Memphis.
Andy?
Yeah, I think I'm going to regret this because, you know, I can just as easily see them losing in the first round if they do end up playing Oklahoma City, but I'm going to pick the Warriors. I think they're pretty clearly the best team in the league right now, and you know, they gave the Clippers a good series last year without Bogut. And if he's healthy in the playoffs, and they have, I'm blanking on his name, Draymond Green is playing really well. I think they'll come out of the conference. That's who I'd have my money on.
All right. I'm going to pick the Thunder. Going to go out on a limb.
Yeah.
I think they're going to end out in the 7th seed. I think the Clippers are going to end out in the 8th seed. So that's how I'll qualify that. The Thunder have Memphis's number in the playoffs. So I think they take out Memphis in the first round. And I think it matches up pretty well for them if they do take out Memphis in the first round by getting, you know, San Antonio maybe in the second round. So I think the injuries are going to help them at the end of the year. The fact that those guys missed all that time, they're going to be a little bit fresher. They're going to be hitting their peak as some of the other teams maybe are winding down. So I'm going to pick Oklahoma City. I'm going to pick them to win it all too. Durant's getting a ring. So that's what I got.
All right,
guys. Fantastic. Real, real lively night in the lounge tonight. I still can't believe Chris Golo showed up. We love him. We do love him. I got a little emotional there with the whole piece of shit thing. I don't mean that. Scott knows that. We're just promoting the fight, guys. We're just promoting the fight. So
we love him, but bring him on.
Absolutely, Senior.
Okay.
Senior is
losing my game face, Cowboy.
I'm not losing my game face. I have my game face here on the show. For those of you looking for some bashing on Twitter, at Bogle Hill. That's Cowboy Senior, at Bogle Hill. He's spitting fire on there 24/7. So it's good stuff. So great tonight, guys. It was really good to do a show that didn't completely revolve around football. I really enjoyed talking about other sports. I hope the listeners did as well. So for Andy, for Senior, and the Cowboys. Oh.
ready to lick me sexy. Roll for shoes and suck me sexy. Little and naked and we're hungry sexy. That's right, girl. Let me whisper in your ear. Baby, wake up. We're naked and we're hungry sexy. For the last 15 minutes, baby. That's what's been happening. Yeah. Too late now. It's on. Baby, who wants to love me sexy?